So today we are reading from, well, we're actually reading from Majjah 3, but I've got Majjah 15 in this book. So we need Majjah Lila Volume 1, if someone can bring me one. I think there's one this there. Got it? While we're waiting for that, I'll...
You got it?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Yeah, this book, the book says 3 here. Thank you. I'll find it. And the pastime is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas, and Nityananda, being very merciful to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, has arranged a little trick in order to bring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the house of Advaita Acharya in order that the residents of Navadvip can come and visit Lord Chaitanya again. And then Lord Chaitanya agrees that actually he will make his base in Jagannath Puri, which is close enough so that the residents of Navadvip, and in particular his mother, Shachimata, will have the opportunity to regularly hear about the activities of her beloved son, Lord Chaitanya. So, I'm going to read texts 100 up to 105, and then we'll do the text on the board, which is 106. So text number 100, Srila Nityananda Prabhu continued, if you invite at least 100 sannyasis to your home and feed them sumptuously, your offense will be nullified. Advaita Acharya replied, I shall never again invite another sannyasi, for it is a sannyasi who has spoiled all my brahminical smriti regulations. After this, Advaita Acharya made the lords wash their hands and mouths. He then took them to a nice bed and made them lie down to take rest. Sri Advaita Acharya fed the two lords cloves and cardamom mixed with tulsi flowers. Thus there was a good flavor within their mouths. Sri Advaita Acharya then smeared the bodies of the lords with sandalwood pulp and then placed very fragrant flower garlands on their chests. When the lord lay down on the bed, Advaita Acharya waited to massage his legs, but the lord was very hesitant and spoke as follows to Advaita Acharya. So please repeat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Advaita Acharya, you have made me dance in various ways. Now give up this practice. Go with Mukunda and Haridas and accept your lunch. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here telling Advaita Acharya that it is not befitting for a sannyasi to accept nice beds to lie on or to chew cloves and cardamom and have his body smeared with sandalwood pulp. Nor is it befitting for him to accept fragrant garlands and have his legs massaged by a pure Vaishnav. You have already made me dance, and according to your vow, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now please stop it. You go and take your lunch with Mukunda and Haridas. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Nati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupang Sagra Jata Sahagana Raghunathan Vitangs Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta kanchana gorange Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu sute devi Pranamami hari priye Vansha kalpatarubhyascha Kripa sindubhya evata Patitanam pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So my thank you. Thank you all for the opportunity to speak. Please give me your good wishes, your blessings, that I can hopefully say something that is in line with Scripture and is also enlivening. It's interesting that Prabhupada would say, what good will your few seconds talk? You know, talk about book distributors. What good will it be? But if you simply repeat something that's in the books, then it can be very helpful. So you give them a book, repeat something that's in the book, and if they read even a little bit of that book, they can be so much benefited. So I feel like, what can I say, you know? So I have to try and say something that is simply in the book. And if I repeat what's in the book and do not add anything, do not subtract anything, then hopefully, by the potency of Prabhupada, then I can say something worthwhile. At least that is my hope. So, Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. So this is the joking pastime. Now, previously, there was a lot of joking going on. When Advaita Acharya, he was feeding Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Then Lord Chaitanya is complaining, right? What was his complaint? Anyone remember? Too much prasad, yes. He said, I'm a sannyasi. Sannyasis, we don't eat too much. We're regulated. And Lord Nityananda, he was complaining. What was his complaint? Not enough prasad, yes. So then what did he do? In anger, Lord Nityananda, he took some rice from his plate and he threw it on the ground. And the rice bounced off the ground and hit Advaita Acharya on the leg. And Advaita Acharya was dancing in ecstasy. And then he says, now it's his turn to joke now. And he says, I've received the result of inviting you. He's talking to Lord Nityananda. You have no caste, and I have received the result of inviting you. I have lost my caste. He's boasting that he's a Smriti Brahmana, smarter Brahman. What did he say now? I shall never again invite another sannyasi, for it is a sannyasi who has spoiled all my Brahminical Smriti regulations. Now, actually, what is Advaita Acharya meaning here? Would anyone like to explain what he means by this? How have his Smriti regulations been spoiled? Well, actually, what he's thinking, if you read the purports previously, what Advaita Acharya is thinking, he's thinking, Lord Nityananda is transcendental to all the castes. And because I've received the foot that has touched him, the foot has bounced off the ground and touched my leg, I have lost my caste consciousness and I have now transcended. So actually he's glorifying Lord Nityananda. But he's making it sound like, well, I've lost my caste, which is a bad thing, right? So Lord Nityananda, in response, he carries on. It's his turn to joke again. So of course he knows what Advaita Acharya is saying, but he's looking at it from a different angle. He's saying to Advaita Acharya, you're not respecting prasadam. You think that you become contaminated because the rice has hit you and you've lost your caste. And for that offense, you need to feed 100 sannyasis to nullify it. So this is the joking between the three lords. And of course, prior to this, Advaita Acharya, he'd set out three plates. One was a metal dish and two were leaves. And he laid out three plates. And Mahaprabhu, whose mood was not to be the Lord, his mood is not to be Krishna. Krishna's too Swayam Bhagavan. That's not his mood as Lord Chaitanya. He saw the three plates and thought, they're all for Krishna. But Advaita Acharya, whose mood is different. He says, Chaitanyara dasamoi, Chaitanyara das, Chaitanyara dasamoi, Tangra dasara das. I am the servant to Lord Chaitanya. I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am the servant of the servant of Lord Chaitanya. That's his mood. So he wants to serve Lord Chaitanya as Swayam Bhagavan. And I mentioned this, I was giving class about a month ago, and I mentioned that the great lengths that Advaita Acharya went to bring out this mood. And what did he do? He taught Gyan. He was teaching that Gyan is higher than Bhakti. And he did it so nicely that Lord Chaitanya became very angry. And in his anger, he adopted the mood of Krishna, who is the chastiser. And this is in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he dragged Advaita Acharya off the Vyasasana and started beating him because he was teaching that Gyan was higher than Bhakti. And he said, I was the killer of Kamsa. I lifted Govardhan Hill. And he started revealing his mood as Krishna, which he rarely does. After all, Radha Bhava Juti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. The beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita makes it very clear that Lord Chaitanya is in the mood and has the complexion of Srimati Radharani. So what does it mean when Mahaprabhu in this verse says, you have made me dance in various ways? This is funny. This is quite funny as well. Because the tattva is Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsava Britcha Jari Nayachi Nachayasi Taichi Kori Nritcha. There is one Ishvara, and that is Krishna. And everyone else is a servant. And they are dancing according to his desire. So that applies to Advaita Acharya. It also applies to Nityananda. As I mentioned before, Bhakta Abhimana Mula Sri Balaram. The mood of being a bhakta, it originates from Balaram, who is the first expansion, the Dvitiya Deha, the first expansion of the Lord. So Lord Nityananda, because he is Balaram, he has the mood, I am the servant of Krishna. I am the servant of Krishna, and Krishna is non-different from Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, I am the servant. And Advaita Acharya has the same mood. So actually, they're dancing according to the desire of Krishna. But Mahaprabhu, in his mood, he's actually flipping it around and saying, I'm dancing to your mood. What does he mean by that? Well, it's like, for example, Durvasa Muni, when he was offensive towards Ambarish Maharaj, he was getting chased by the Sudarsan Chakra, and he ends up taking shelter of Vishnu, and Vishnu says, I can't help you either. You know what he say? Aham bhakta paradino, yasvatantra ivadvija. Hridayo grasta, no, sadubir grasta hridayo bhaktair bhakta janapriya. I am the servant of my devotees. They have actually captured my heart with their devotion. And not only that, but I am the servant of the servant of my devotees. So, Mahaprabhu, his mood is, he's reciprocating with Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya is like, I want to serve you as Krishna. And Mahaprabhu is like, I'm the servant of my devotee. And Advaita Acharya is my devotee, therefore I'm now serving him, serving his desire. So he's dancing to the tune of Advaita Acharya, but Advaita Acharya wants to dance to the tune of Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna. So anyway, and if you notice that it's like deity worship, how did Advaita Acharya treat the lords? He gives them the garland, he gives them the cardamom, he gives them smears them with sandalwood pulp, massages them. These are all the practices that we do in order that we can awaken our love for Krishna. It's like deity worship. We give them a bed. He gives them a bed. He gives them somewhere to relax. Gives them smears the body, massages them. These are all the activities that we are meant to do in order that we can awaken our love for Krishna. But Advaita Acharya, of course, his love, he's Vishnu himself. And he's also Sada Shiva. It came up yesterday. It was Shivaratri yesterday. So we're talking about Shiva again in the form of Advaita Acharya because he's Sada Shiva. And as I mentioned, there's one letter where Prabhupada explains how is Advaita Acharya Sada Shiva and how is he Mahavishnu? Because we hear so much that he's Mahavishnu, but sometimes we hear he's Sada Shiva. And Prabhupada gave a very simple answer. He said, from Mahavishnu expands Sada Shiva, and from Sada Shiva expands Advaita Acharya. So this is like we're again talking about Lord Shiva 2 days in a row. And it was lovely. I met I would say I'd call him a devotee. He's been here. He did the Bhakta program, or the Be a Monk program. He was here for 7 days. But anyway, he follows all kinds of spiritual paths. He was just, that was one of his paths he was following, and he does a little bit of everything. So I met him yesterday, and he said he was going to Shivaratri celebration somewhere in Harrow. So it's nice, and I said to him, oh, you should listen to the class about Shivaratri. It was today at Bhaktivedanta Manor. So he was very interested. So I gave him the web address for the audio. And I said to him, wait a couple of days, because it doesn't get uploaded for a few days. So it's nice to, anyone's interested in worshipping Shiva, we can facilitate that very nicely, because as Ramnath Sukhaprabhu was pointing out, there is a fair degree of Shiva worship that is bona fide and is something that Vaishnavas do. Why? Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, because Shambhu or Shiva is the greatest Vaishnav, so we worship him as the Vaishnav. So when we meet worshippers of Lord Shiva, we can facilitate them in such a way that we're not compromising our philosophy as that Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. So, as I was explaining, so Mahaprabhu, he has this dilemma. His mood is to be the devotee of Krishna, and in Advaita Acharya's mood is to worship him as Krishna. So he facilitates him to some extent, and then he returns to his real mood, which is to be the devotee of Krishna. Apani karimu bhakta bhavangikari, apani achari bhakti shikaimu sabari. His mission is to take the mood of a devotee and then teach it by example, because he's an acharya. Lord Chaitanya is the acharya, therefore he teaches by example. So we see it's the way that moods work in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's very subtle, and we need the guidance of our acharyas. The reason being, we can easily take the wrong mood. And there is an Upasampradaya that does that. They're called the Gauranga Nagaris. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that their mood is wrong. It's an Upasampradaya. And what they do is they take the mood that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, and therefore we will be in the mood of gopis, and we will worship Lord Chaitanya, and he can be Krishna, and we can be the gopis. This is how they see things. So what's interesting, you will find subtly throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita instances where Mahaprabhu's mood flips. And here's one example. He's deciding to take the mood of Krishna to facilitate Advaita Acharya. And there are a few other examples. And if we're not following our acharyas, then we may actually adopt a wrong mood. So it's very important that we follow the line of our acharyas. And the line of our acharyas is we worship Lord Chaitanya in such a way as not to disturb his mood that he is the devotee. So we don't actually try and have our rasa lila with Lord Chaitanya, in case anyone thought they would want to do that. But I don't think anyone wants to do that, because Prabhupada has made that so explicitly clear that that's a bad idea. Another example of where the moods change is the pastime of Jagadananda Pandit. So who is he in Krishna Lila? Anyone know? Satyabhama, yes. So Satyabhama is one of Krishna's queens. So Jagadananda Pandit, he wanted to give some lovely, fragrant oil to Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya, on this occasion, he did not facilitate it. He said, you can use this oil as ghee for the lamps so that they can be used in Krishna's service. In the temple lamps, you know, we burn a lamp with some oil. Then that way they'll be used for Krishna's service. And what did Jagadananda Pandit do? Yes, he got very angry, and he took this big pot of scented oil and he smashed it on the ground, and he went to his room and he fasted. And he fasted. And he fasted. And after 3 days, Mahaprabhu knocked on the door and said, could you cook for me? So he did. He cooked. And Mahaprabhu loved the cooking, and Jagadananda Pandit was very happy. His mood, his mana, as they call it, right? His sulkiness was broken in this pastime. So this is Jagadananda Pandit, who's, you know, we know that Satyabhama is one of the feisty queens. Krishna likes feisty women, right? likes a fight. Rukmini is more passive. So remember when Krishna was joking with Rukmini, "Oh, you married me. I don't even have a proper varna. Why did you marry me?" And she fainted. She was so upset. But Satyabhama, she's a different kettle of fish, so to speak. She's a different tattva. So she likes to argue and fight. So that came out in this relationship, Jagadananda Pandit and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's another example where another mood's there. You know, we see a little bit of Krishna and Satyabhama coming out there. But once again, that is not how we worship Lord Chaitanya. We don't worship him in this way. So anyway. So as is clear from the verse, or the verses, the sannyasi does not eat too much, does not take luxury, does not allow himself to be massaged, to be given garlands and treated very nicely. The sannyasi does not like to draw attention to himself. So it said in the Bhagavad Gita, yukta hara viharascha, yukta chestasya karmasu, yukta svatnanda vabodasya, yogi bhavati dukkaha. That if one wants to be a successful yogi and dukkaha, destroy miseries, then one has to be regulated. Regulated in eating, in sleeping, in service, in recreation. What does recreation mean? Anyone know? I'm bringing this up because it doesn't mean let's have a break from Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada explains it means Krishna conscious recreation. So, you know, for example, you do the Prabhupada marathon, then afterwards you can have a nice big festival, associate with the devotees, talk about Krishna, have a nice feast. That's recreation. It doesn't mean I'm giving up altogether and going off to the movies or something. That's not what it meant by regulated in recreation. So it helps to read the purports. So in Prabhupada, he was very, how shall we say, he had a very Nivritti Marg mood about him. Anyone ever know this word, Nivritti Marg? It means the path of renunciation. He said, our risk on society is for Nivritti Marg. So it's interesting, I was listening to a lecture several months ago. Prabhupada was saying, and we do not spend a penny for sense gratification. We do not go to restaurants. We do not go for entertainment and stuff, so forth. We do not put on cosmetics, all this stuff. Everything's for Krishna. We spend very opulently for Krishna, but for ourselves, we do nothing. And I was listening to it and I was thinking, you know, do we do that now? And I was thinking, actually, it's not quite like that. So many people, they go off to restaurants, devotees go to restaurants, some go to the cinema. Do we spend not a penny for sense gratification? No, we like to maybe go to a holiday and we will start chant our rounds, but part of our business is to go to a nice place and enjoy the facilities. But we have to understand that Nivrittis tu Mahapala. It says in the Vedic scripture, Pravrittir Esha Bhutanam, Nivrittis tu Mahapala. It means Pravritti is the general tendency of the living entities, but the great fruit is Nivritti, renunciation. So if we want anything valuable, we have to do what? Pay the price. So the price is we have to be very rigid in our giving up of sense gratification. And Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, Na hya sanyasta sankalpo yogi bhavati kashtana. One cannot be a yogi unless one renounces the desire for sense gratification. So we may think that sense gratification is harmless, but the next time we're thinking, why do I not have a taste? Then we can go back to that moment and think, well, I thought that I could just have my sense gratification and it wouldn't really affect my Krishna consciousness. The fact is, it does. Krishna's waiting for us to be really serious. And then he will give that nectar for which we're always anxious. Right? But here's a dilemma. In the Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, it says something different. Sanyasastu mahabaho dukamaptun na yogataha. Yoga yukta munir brahma na chirena digachati. Sannyas without yoga is very, very difficult. Therefore, however, the yoga yukta muni, what does that mean? A muni who is yoga yukta means who is engaged, because yukta means engaged and yoga means back to yoga. The muni engaged in back to yoga very quickly attains the supreme. So here's the problem. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says one thing, that you cannot become a yogi unless you renounce. But then, in the verse I just mentioned, it says you cannot renounce, or it's very difficult to renounce unless you become a yogi. So which comes first? Is it that we renounce and then become yogis? Or is it that we become yogis and then we renounce? It seems that we can't renounce unless we become a yogi, but we can't become a yogi unless we renounce. So how do we resolve this? Anyone like to offer? Become a yogi first. I agree with you. And right behind you, Tarun Prabhu. If we don't have attraction, we cannot renounce. But yes, jana yat yashivairagyam gyanam chayada hoitukam. It is a byproduct. And I agree with both those answers. Everyone agree? Actually, it said, Bhaktistu Bhagavat Sangha, Sangina Parijayati, Satsanga Prapiti Pumbir, Sukritaya Purva Sanchitai. It is through Sukriti, Agyata Sukriti, that we end up with association with devotees, and from that we develop bhakti. So the bhakti comes first, it's true, but it starts off as in a seed form. But the point is to nourish the bhakti. That's when we have to make the effort. And that's where our renunciation, or our attempt to renounce, is very, very important. But we should understand that even our attempt to renounce will be a failure unless we get the mercy. And that is what Prabodhananda Sarasvati has said. Durdantendri akala sarpapatale protkata dungstrayate. The fang, the senses are like fangs, the broken fangs of a serpent. How? Yat karunya tatakshavai bhavavatam tamgoram eva stumaha. If we receive the merciful sidelong glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we get that mercy, then our senses can be controlled. And without that mercy, there is no hope. And this particular pastime is all about prasadam. Prasadam is the mercy through which we control lobamoy sudurmati. The tongue is lobamoy, very lusty. Jivarala lasi ji, ityutidoya, shishno dara panayana, Krishna nahi paya. To get the mercy of Krishna, or to attain Krishna, we need to control the tongue. It says, jivarala lassi, means the lust of the tongue makes us run here and there. Not just the tongue. Prabhupada says they're all connected. Tongue, belly, genitals. If you control the tongue, you control all of them. It says, tavaj jitendriya nasyad vijitanyendriya puman. Najayed rasanam yavaj jitam sarvam. If one has controlled the tongue, then one has controlled all the senses. But if one has not controlled the tongue, then even though all one's other senses may appear to be controlled, one has actually not controlled the senses. This is the verse from the 11th canto. So we should understand Krishna consciousness is very, very simple. But we have to be prepared to offer our food to Krishna and only take offered food. And we have to be prepared to not blaspheme devotees, not criticize, because that's another lack of control of the tongue. One devotee made the nice comment, he said, the tongue has got no bone, therefore it moves here, there and everywhere. Difficult to control the tongue. There's no bone there to keep it in place. So this tongue is so much problem for us. And we all, who's had the experience, you say something and you think, I wish I'd never said that. There's actually one devotee said it recently. She said, I didn't like that class. And she went, oops. And I was thinking, yeah, oops. We have to be very careful, you know, how we treat people. And we have to be careful how we talk about sannyasis. You know that when Prabhupada was here, sannyas was like, it was a glorious, people were glorifying the sannyas ashram and so many people were aspiring for it. Now it's like, it's more common that people say, ah, sannyasis this, sannyasis that, and blah, 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 blah. But we have to be very careful. This is Krishna's system. You know, Chaturvarnyam Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. It's created by Krishna. Of course, it's not only the sannyas ashram. People criticize the grihasthas. In the early days, people were more criticizing grihasthas, following grihasthas, right? And then after a while, it changed. The grihasthas got revenge and they started criticizing the brahmacharis. Ah, you're just living in the ashram, feeding your bellies. And it's all going round. Everyone's criticizing everyone else. But that's all rubbish. Ultimately, it's all rubbish. It's all about this is Krishna's system and we respect. And if you notice, if you can do this experiment, if you are careful and respectful to any devotee, after a while, they start to open. They open up. It's part of the loving exchange, revealing your mind. And then you'll find the jewels inside their heart, how they're actually sincere. So many people are sincere. And we find, unfortunately, and it's Kali Yuga, we can end up in a big, big international society of Krishna consciousness, and we have little groups, and this group's saying that group's wrong, and that group's saying that group's wrong. But actually, if you get to know anyone, everyone is actually, pretty much everyone, at least everyone I've met, is actually sincere. When I've scratched the surface and taken the trouble to understand anyone, I've discovered they're actually sincere, and they're actually inspiring. So there are so many people who individually are actually well-intentioned, but some of the group are saying this, their motive is wrong, and they're saying, no, your motive is wrong. And this is all Kali Yuga. And what did Prabhupada say? This movement is so powerful, it cannot be broken. The only way it can be broken is from the inside, Maya. So we have to be very careful we don't let Maya in. So we should have a very healthy respect for the sannyas ashram. And actually, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Actually, Prabhupada, he said one time in a walk, I got this from Prabhupada memories, he said, he was chuckling, he said, my original plan when I came to the West was to just make sannyasis. You hear this plan? Let me create a group of sannyasis and they'll preach all over the world. And then he said, and then I found out I could not do this. So then I said, okay, let them get married, let them have one child, and then they can support their family. Family can live in Vrindavan, and then they can preach around the world. And he shook his head and he goes, I also could not do this. So he understood. The point we want to make here, the pravritti marg, the marg of the balance between material and spiritual, that wasn't really high on Prabhupada's list of priorities. He really was going for the nirvritti marg. He really wanted people to renounce. And that is, as I said, nirvrittis tu mahapala, that is the great fruit. So in the seventh chapter, there's a lovely statement, avartate pravrittina nivritena shnutemritam. From pravritti, we get avartati. What does that mean? Anyone know? Okay, it's connected to the word prema vivarta. Jagannanda Pandit, remember we were talking about Jagannanda Pandit, and he smashed the pot of oil. That act is known as prema vivarta. Vivarta means you twist it, it's revolve. It looks like anger, but it's love. You twisted it. It's the opposite of what it is. It means to turn it round. It's turned round. It's a pastime. It's turned on its head. Anger is love. It's turned on its head. So avartati means revolution. Revolution of birth and death. So avartati pravritti now means if you follow this marg where you get your sense gratification as well as following dharma, then all you're going to get is repeated birth and death. On the other hand, nivritena shnutemritam. Nivritena, by nivritti, ashnuti, one attains amrit. What does amrit mean? Nectar. What else does it mean? Deathlessness, yes. So we can combine the two. Eternal bliss. You get the bliss. Amrita means bliss, and amrita means eternal. So eternal bliss from the nivritti marg. So that is why sannyas is so important. And Prabhupada, when he talks about sannyas, he'd often say, sannyas is not about what you wear. Sannyas is about giving up the fruits of your activity. So who knows a verse in Bhagavad Gita that states this? It's from the sixth chapter, and it's the first verse. Anyone know the first verse of the sixth chapter? Abhay, do you know? But you've been in this movement since birth. How can you not know this? Okay, I'm putting you on the spot there. Anashrita karma palam karyam karma karotiya sasanyasi chayogiya cha nani ragir agnir na chakriyaha. One who does not take shelter of the fruits of one's activity and who works as they're obligated, that person is a real sannyasi, not someone who lights no fire or performs no activity. Notice how this is Krishna rejecting false renunciation, which we call palgu vairagya. That is when one gives up activity, but the mind is still active. That is false renunciation. So that is given up here by Krishna. He says, you must perform your activities, but it's karyam karma. Now, one of the wonderful things about this process is, if you have a question or you have a doubt, you can just listen to Prabhupada and he will answer it. You know, had this experience, you wonder about something, and then you say, I'll just open the book, or I'll just listen to the lecture and I'll see what comes. And what you receive is an answer to your question. So I had that this morning, because I was going to talk about this. I was thinking, this is the verse about sannyas, about Mahaprabhu, he's adopting the mood of a sannyasi. And I was thinking to talk about this verse from the sixth chapter. So before I came to the temple, I switched on Prabhupada lecture, and he quotes this verse. And he explained what is meant by karyam karma, dutiful action. And he said, what that means is we must preach, and we must follow the order of the spiritual master. That's what karyam karma means. So I was thinking to myself, so who does that apply to? Does it only apply to sannyasis? Are they the only ones that are meant to follow the order of the spiritual master? Or are the grihasthas meant to also follow the order? Of course, that applies to all of us. And therefore, karyam karma, dutiful action, is something that we all do. And Krishna is saying in the Gita, that is what a sannyasi is. Therefore, we all have to be sannyasis. Now, it doesn't mean we have to have a danda. We don't have to wear the saffron cloth, but we all have to be sannyasis. So have you ever noticed there are some devotees who say, I'm not into sannyas, I just want to love Krishna. You know people say like this? They don't want to be a sannyasi, they just want to love Krishna. But the point is, the essence of sannyas is to give up karma phala, fruits of activities. Therefore, everyone has to be a sannyasi in order to love Krishna. You can't do it without it. Without giving up the desire for enjoying the fruits of your activities, you're actually not qualified to be a lover of Krishna. So actually we're all aspiring sannyasis. And Prabhupada even had a phrase, the grihastha sannyas. You heard this phrase before? And he says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, there's one purport, he says, and some of the members of our international society, they are working in offices and they are giving the fruits of their activity, they're giving their wages to spread Krishna consciousness or to give it to the society. And he says, they are sannyasis, you see. So sannyas, we don't have to wait. Sannyas is not something you wait till you're 50. You know, they have this statement, was it pancha sarvam vanam brajet? When you reach 50, you should go off to the forest, the grihastha, give up this family life. You don't stay in family life forever. We don't have to wait. We can remain in family life and still be a sannyasi. And such grihasthas, I think they're rare. I've yet to meet, well, I probably met them but not recognized them. But I'm certainly not one myself. But they're rare, but they're glorious. And Prabhupada, he didn't even have the idea that grihasthas always serve sannyasis. There's another one from Prabhupada memories. There's one devotee said, and such grihastha, they can have a project. And this sannyasi, he can serve in this project. So he was flexible. The varna, you know, it didn't matter so much. The ashram and the varna, you know, a sannyasi can serve in a grihastha project, because ultimately everything's service to Krishna. And in the 12th canto, it says, in Kali Yuga, ashram will be decided by not your inner quality, but by your dress. Lingam evashrami kyatav. In other words, if you just get that danda and you put on the saffron cloth, then immediately people will think, there is a sannyasi. They will not bother to check your inner qualification. And then you can beg. You know, if you have a stick and you have a bowl, your japati problem is solved. That is predicted in Kali Yuga. And Prabhupada knew that, which is why he said something very interesting once. He said, I have given you sannyas, but actually you're not qualified. And it should be understood that some of you will actually fall. He said this. And he said, battlefield commission. It's like in a battlefield. You take a junior person and you make him into a senior person. It's just an emergency, but we have to. The leader's being killed. We have to quickly promote someone. So he gave this. He said, it is an emergency, therefore I've given you this. So what does he mean? What he means is, the actual dress of sannyas, the actual stick, it is respected. Why? You think, well, surely it's all about your qualification, not about your dress. Well, exactly. But the point is, it's Kali Yuga. So people won't listen to you unless you have a stick, unless you have your danda and your saffron cloth. They won't listen to you. But there's another side. If you have real potency, you know, what is it? Krishna Shakti Bina Nahitara Pravartana. If you can actually become a pure devotee of Krishna, then it doesn't matter what ashram you're in, because Krishna Shakti Bina Nahitara Pravartana. There is ultimately no spreading of Krishna consciousness unless you're empowered by Krishna. So it is still true that you don't need to change your dress. Some people think, if I simply change my dress, I will be able to spread Krishna consciousness. It doesn't work that way. Some people think, if I change my dress from a dhoti to a respectable Western dress, then I will spread Krishna consciousness. Well, that may give you the opportunity to associate with people who might otherwise avoid you because you're wearing a dhoti and it looks funny. But still, the potency has to be there in order to change that person. It's not enough. Changing dress, it may be a good strategy, and sometimes our acharyas, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati or Prabhupada, they approved of it in certain situations. But we also have to have the inner purity that we can inject Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kata tajyoshina shashva bhavargavatmane shradaratir bhaktir anukramishyate, third canto. That you can try and spread Krishna consciousness, but unless you're pure, the words that you speak will not affect your audience. Therefore, satam prasangan mama virya samvado. Virya means prowess, power. And Prabhupada says, you have to be viryavan. And he says it in a Bengali accent, which comes out as bujuban. And I was thinking, bij means the seed. Is that what he's saying? And I was thinking for a while, Prabhupada lectures, bujuban, you have to have, you know, potency. And I was thinking, it means someone who has the seed of Krishna consciousness and they can give it to someone else. But actually, then I looked at the transcripts and it's not bijuban, it's virya, birya, biriban, bijuban. Means one has to be virya, mama virya samvado, one has to have potency. So one is purity. Prabhupada often said, purity is the force. So if we preach with purity, then we can change the heart of our audience. And what's interesting and what's challenging is the social dynamics of the Western world have changed over the last 40 years or so. When Prabhupada was present, it was during the hippie revolution. And practically anyone could join the Hare Krishna movement, put on a dhoti, go around and talk about Krishna, and people were like, hey man, that's far out, man. And then they would say to them, but you can't take drugs. Hey man, yeah, let's get high forever. And it worked. But people are different now. This hippie movement, it doesn't exist anymore. Of course, people are still taking drugs. Some things never change. But it's a different type. We have a different mood. So it's more of a challenge. It's more of a challenge for us to spread Krishna consciousness. And what we're discovering is, you know, we want more and more people to join, but it's harder and harder to get people to join. So what do we do in that situation? We just have to accept and be humble and say, we need to become more powerful. Because, you know, if circumstances are favorable, you may not be a pure devotee, but just by giving the book, people take the book and become pure devotees. Well, they'll become devotees because they're interested in that. That's the mood. But if you're in a different world, if times are changed, if our message doesn't seem to appeal to people so much, then we have to become more potent. That means we have to become pure. Purity is a force. And we just have to eat humble pie and say, yeah, we'd love to have an ashram full of people joining. You know, I was speaking to Jai Krishna a few months ago, and he was saying on the Saturday night Harinam, nearly every night, at the end of the night, there'd be some new person in the minibus, and they'd take them back to the temple. And then they'd be shaved up. You know, devotees were joining all the time, and they were leaving all the time as well. It was always like that. And Prabhupada, and how many Prabhupada disciples remained? Something like 20% or something. You know, 80% disappeared. Prabhupada would initiate people, and then they'd become hippies again just after a few days. Things were happening like that. It was come and go. But the point is, when times are hard, we have to go deep into our own practice, and we have to become pure. Because if we can become pure, we can preach. And Prabhupada said, Tapyanti lokatapena sadava prayasho janaha paramaradhanam taddi purushasakilatmanaha. From the 8th canto, he says, translates it as great personalities, mahants, they almost always engage themselves in trying to deliver others, and they will undergo all kinds of austerities in order to do that. Tapyanti lokatapena means because of the lokatap. Tapa means pain. Lokatapena means due to seeing the pain of others, then what? Tapyanti, they take on austerity. Like Srila Prabhupada, you know, he's an old man, and then he's going to cross the ocean, and Mrs. Murarji, Swamiji, you're not strong enough. You can't do this. This is dangerous. But he did. Why? Lokatapena. Because he could appreciate the suffering of the Westerners. And even though he'd not met them yet, he could appreciate. And there's some wonderful, almost esoteric pastimes. One of them, Prabhupada had a dream. Because he took the order of his spiritual master so seriously. And he was thinking, how to do it. And he's living at Radhadamodar temple. And he's in the courtyard, he's serving the samadhis, you know, Rupa Goswami. And he's praying, how to do this. And then he has a dream. And in that dream, I think it's his spiritual master said to him, go to the West, they're already crying for you. Now's the time, they're ready. So he was just try. All the arrangements will be made. So Prabhupada, he's got a little mechanistic thing there. How will I get it? How will I? No, just do it. It will all be arranged. And everything happened, you know. Miraculously, he got the passport. And he got the free passage on the ship. All just arranged. He got the recommendation from someone in Butler, Pennsylvania, and everything just all fell into place. Sometimes that's how we'd have to do it. We may be thinking, I want to preach, so in order to preach, I'll have to get somewhere to live, I'll have to get my ashram, I'll have to get the funds, and we start planning it this way. But sometimes that's not the way to do it. Sometimes it's just a case of just do it, have faith, you do it, and everything will be arranged. So this is glorious. And this is what sannyas is all about. As I say, we should all be like the sannyasis. So I thought I'd talk about the Avanti Brahmana. You ever know the story about the Avanti Brahmana? It's in the 11th canto. So he was actually a miser, Grihastha miser. And then by Krishna's mercy, his life fell apart. He lost everything. Some things, people stole things, his family spent his money. And he ended up homeless on the street, and then people were insulting him, people were even spitting at him, urinating on him. And something happened. In that suffering came renunciation, real renunciation. And he understood, and he became a philosopher. And then there's the song of the Avanti Brahmana. And in his ecstasy, of course, it should be pointed out, he already received some spiritual sukriti, because you can't become renounced without bhakti. Remember, we made this point. You can't actually become renounced without bhakti. So he'd already heard from sadhus. So there was a seed of devotion was already in his heart. But it took that extreme measure from Krishna to take everything away in order for that to develop. Remember, I mentioned, Nahya sanyasta sankalpo yogi bhavati kaschana. The Gita says you cannot become the yogi unless you renounce. So sometimes Krishna helps us. Yashaham anugrihnami harishi tadanam shana Tato Sajja, you know, Tato, was it, you know, Chajancha, Svajana, Dukha Dukitam. That if I want to show special mercy, I take everything away. And in that, I say, Tato Dhanam, Chajanchasya, Svajana, Dukha Dukitam. That I will take away everything from that person. And in that state, that person will be forced to take shelter of me. So Krishna sometimes mercifully forces us to take shelter. And the Avanti Brahmana is an example. And he said, he got his realization. He said, it's actually not due to the planetary arrangement that I am suffering. It is not due to these people who are teasing me, spitting on me. That is not the reason I'm suffering. It is not even, it's not the demigods. It is not even my karma. You know, it's not my karma. So what is the reason? What did they say? Anyone know? He said, it is because of my mind. What is the mind? Sankalpa vikalpa, right? Mind means accepting and rejection. So it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Dvaiti badra badra gyan sabha mano dharma e bhalo e manda e sabha brahm. In this world of duality, the badra, good, and abhadra, bad, it is mano dharma. It's just the characteristic. Dharma means characteristic. Sometimes we think of dharma meaning duty. It's one meaning. Dharma means nature, like the nectar of instruction. Nira dharma means the nature of water. So dharma means the nature of the mind. Mano dharma means balo, this is good, and manda, this is bad. And we spend our life, mano ratenasati davato bahi, riding this chariot of the mind. And that mind is our worst enemy. It is that mind that will stop us getting up in the morning. Which in my case, well, maybe wasn't such a bad thing, because I got to listen to Prabhupada lecture and I got some extra things to think about, to talk about in the class. But that was my mind, I have to be honest. I woke up and I thought to myself, it's 4:20. Even if I get there, I'm going to miss Darshan for Mangal Arati. So I thought, okay, I missed it, so I'll wait till 5:20. But I'll listen to Prabhupada at least, because I was thinking, I've got to think of something to say, you know. So anyway, good and bad, that is how we stop ourselves from advancing in Krishna consciousness. For example, I'll give you many examples. I don't like the prasadam, so I'm not going to go to this program. Or I don't like the kirtan singer. It's not my style. I don't like the style of kirtan. I don't like the melody. I don't like the voice of the person. Or I don't like the devotees. Okay, they're trying to be Krishna conscious, but I don't like them. No, here's an interesting thing, and that really struck me when I heard it. And it was something that Prabhupada said. He goes, even if you don't like the association of devotees, you should tolerate it. And I was thinking, wow, what's he saying? What he's saying is something that you don't like, something that you think is not good for your devotional service. When we say we don't like something, we think, it doesn't inspire me. Therefore, it's not bhakti. It doesn't inspire me. No. Prabhupada is saying, even you're not inspired by it, even if you don't like it, it's good for you because it works. In other words, we shouldn't try and guess the process. We shouldn't think, that's going to help me, that's not. I don't like that. I don't like that organization. I don't like this. I like this. Figure it all out. We don't say, I'm not going to associate with devotees because I don't like them. No, the process still works. It's amazing. Prabhupada also says, if you don't like the speaker, I'm sorry. If you don't like the speaker, he said, you should still go to class. And then Krishna within your heart will give you teaching. He'll teach you within the heart. And some people, they say, the books, I need a living person. And like, I won't get the teaching from the book. Prabhupada also says, my books are personal instructions to you. It's called Buddhi Yoga. Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mamma Puyanti Te. Tesham Techam Tasatatapuk Yuktanam Bhajatam Pradipurvakam. Just engage in service, and then within the heart, Krishna will reveal. And some people think, but I'm not pure enough. Krishna will not reveal. And actually, there's a statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that says this. Jivi Shakshi Nahi Tata Krishna. Was it? Jivi Shakshad Nahi Tati Guru Chaitya Rupi. Krishna Rupa Hoy, Krishna Mahansarup. Is it? Yeah. Anyway, the meaning is, I'm not sure if that's exactly how it goes. The meaning is, I am not qualified to experience Chaitya Guru directly. Therefore, Krishna sends the Guru, the Mahansarup. The Guru will teach me because I'm not qualified for Chaitya Guru. So again, that's one angle. In other words, by the mercy of Krishna, we get Guru. And by the mercy of Guru, we get Krishna. Or as it says, Acharya Chaitya Vapusha Swagatim Vinakti, is that Krishna or Yontispa here, Tanubritam Ashubam Vadunvan. Within me, Ashubha means inauspiciousness, is Dunvan, purified by the two gurus, Chaitya Guru and Acharya. So it says that the Lord mercifully manifests as the Chaitya Guru within the heart and as the Acharya externally, and both of them to purify us. But Prabhupada, the point is, we've already received mercy of the Acharya. We wouldn't actually be here unless we'd received the Bhakti Lata Bij. So we already have the faith, and it's there. It needs to sprout. And in the meantime, we shouldn't think that the process doesn't work. We shouldn't think, well, the books aren't going to, you know, help me because I need someone to explain the books. Well, it is definitely preferable that you have someone to explain the books. And as I pointed out, Prabhupada said, Viryavan, when I said potency, if you hear from the lips of the pure devotee, that is potency. Prabhupada says it is more effective. But he also says, as you become purified, Krishna will talk to you more and more. So the point I want to make is, it's not binary. It's not like, I'm not pure, therefore the Chaitya Guru does not teach me at all. That's not what Prabhupada teaches. Prabhupada says, okay, you know, you're not pure, but if you try, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, just always try your best. Okay, pretty purvakam, in a loving way. I'm not quite doing it out of love, but at least my love is there in the form of dedication. Prabhupada says, how do you show? You know, one time one disciple asked Prabhupada, you know, what does it mean to love the spiritual master? And Prabhupada says, to follow the instructions. You know, you made a promise, you made a vow, you follow your vow, that's your love. So that dedication is love. And I once got invited to wedding anniversary, devotee wedding anniversary, and he'd been married, I don't know, a long time, something like 25 years. And actually, it was a joint wedding anniversary, and the various couples, they started speaking, and actually the lady spoke first, and they were talking about love, and then one of the Prabhus spoke, and he kind of said, you know, sometimes maybe my wife thinks I don't love her. I said, but no, I do love her, because every day I go out and I work because I want to bring in some income to support. So in other words, my dedication is a symptom of my love. So it's the same for Krishna consciousness. Dedication is a symptom of love. So if we try to, you know, the dhammi, if we try what's the word? Teshang Satata Yuktanam, seed verse of the Bhagavad Gita. We try to do satata, meaning always, not just some of the time. We try always to serve. Then Krishna sees that. And then from within the heart, he then enlightens us. So as I said, it's not binary. Because the reason I'm bringing this up is because sometimes devotees get hurt. They actually get hurt inside because they lose faith in the process. Because they get told, and it's not so untrue, it's almost true. It's an aspect, there's a certain mood, a bona fide mood, that you can be praying for the pure devotee to come into your life and give you Krishna consciousness. It's there. Advaita Acharya was praying to meet the Vaishnav. And glorification of the Vaishnav, it's wonderful. And hearing from the lips of the pure devotee, it is wonderful. And their potency is there. It's all there in the scriptures. No one should debate it. But what we have to be very careful is, sometimes someone can whisper in your ear, Prabhu, you're not going to understand it. It's not going to work. And actually, your chanting is not going to work either, because you're not pure. It's not pure chanting. And you're not going to understand the books, because it's not, because you don't have the understanding. You're a conditioned soul. And someone's going to have to just pray for that pure devotee to come. Well, you can pray for the pure devotee. But the point is, in the meantime, it's not like you stop. The process is still active. The holy name is still the holy name. The books are still. Prabhupada said, I'm in my books. Prabhupada is in his books. He is, if you listen to the sound vibration, and anyone can, well, not anyone, many devotees have experienced from listening to Prabhupada's tapes and from listening and from reading the books, they've had spiritual experiences. Or come before the Murti of Prabhupada and then you get a message. There's different ways to communicate. One of them is known in the nectar of devotional, actually, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's called Harda, which comes from the word Hrida. It means Krishna's mercy from within the heart, you see. So Krishna's mercy is always available. It's rare to get it. The Krishna's mercy normally comes through the sadhu, but also Krishna's mercy can come directly within the heart. So all these other ways of getting mercy, they come. All the nine processes of devotional service, they all have the potency to give us prema. So the point is, we should be very enthusiastic about our practice of devotional service, even if we can't find the sadhu, which we won't be able to find, because Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyana Bujaya, we don't have the potency, if we're not qualified to see the pure devotee, we won't recognize the pure devotee, because they're covered. Krishna, and actually one of our acharyas has said, why? Because Krishna is purchased by service to the pure devotee, so he's not going to just give himself easily. He's going to keep his pure devotee hidden. And if you're fortunate enough to recognize that pure devotee and serve that pure devotee, then you will purchase Krishna. But he's not going to advertise it. You know, I mean, you worship him and you'll be purchased. No. You'll purchase me. No. That's why the pure devotee is a confidential thing. And it's so. I'm trying to give people faith in the process, not just in the person, but at the same time to recognize that the need for the person. There's two Bhagavats, Book Bhagavat and Person Bhagavat, and both are very, very important. And I will conclude with one, because it's 10:02, maybe we have some time for comments and questions. I will conclude with a little statement of what Prabhupada said sannyas means. Several times he broke down the word sannyas. So nyas means, what does it mean? Anyone know? It's an obvious word. Nyas means? Nullify? Maybe? I don't know. Nyas means renunciation. Sometimes it means to place. You know, katcham damodaram nyaset. You know, we put on the tilak, we say damodaram nyaset. I place the tilak, you know, on my back, katcham. And I say Damodar. Damodaram Nyaset. So it means to place one's consciousness in Sat, Krishna. That's one meaning. But I've not seen Prabhupada use that meaning. Prabhupada said Nyas means renunciation, and Sat means Om Tat Sat, which means the Absolute. So what Sannyas means to renounce in the Absolute, or renounce for the Absolute. So that's the whole point. Sannyas doesn't mean giving up. It means giving up in Krishna or for Krishna. It's the yoga. The yoga is implicit in the word sannyas. Therefore, the idea of impersonal sannyas doesn't actually match that particular translation of the word sannyas. And that is the mood of sannyas. And when Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas and he was traveling like a madman, he was saying, Aham Trishyami Durantaparam Tamo Mukundangri Nasevayaiva. He was singing the Avanti Brahmana mantra. I will cross over the Durantaparam, the difficult ocean of mercy, or difficult material ocean. How? Mukunda Seva, by service to Krishna. So we should conclude. I wanted to give you a message. I can't give you a message because you're already qualified. My message is Sannyasa is a nice thing. It's something that everyone should do, whether you have a danda or not. And it means to surrender to Krishna and give your life to Krishna and depend on Krishna and to give up the false notion that you own anything. Because people don't want to renounce because they think they own something. But actually, Ishavashamidam Sarvam, we own nothing. Yat Kincha Jagat Cham Jagat, because everything belongs to Krishna. And Prabhupada, you gave the example, you walk into a bank and say, I renounce all the money in this bank. So then hold on a second, you don't own the money in this bank anyway. It belongs to the bank, not to you. So that's what sannyas means. Sannyas is, it's actually an illusion. We have nothing to give up, so we can't give up anything. It's already belonging to Krishna. Sannyas is the recognition that we never owned it in the first place. And how can we renounce? Naiva kinchit karomiti. Krishna says, yuktamanyata karachit tattvavit. If you're tattvavit, if you know the truth, you understand naiva kinchit karomi. I do nothing. The idea that we are the doer is a symptom of nescience. Kartaham. No, kartaham. Was it? Kartaham vimud. What was the word? Ahankara vimudatma. Kartaham iti manyati, yes. The kartaham iti manyati is a hankara. Instead of a hankara, the vimuda atma, the foolish person thinks I am the doer. So we can't actually renounce. There's no such thing as taking sannyas. We're not the doer. We can't take sannyas. Sannyas is just realization that we're not the doer and everything belongs to Krishna. And then we just adopt the mood of the sannyas. And Mahaprabhu, it's interesting. Mahaprabhu, I said, Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam, Naume Krishna Swarupam. He comes in the mood of Radharani. And when he's dancing before the Jagannath cart, he says, Naham vipro nacha narapati napi vaisho nasudharo Naham varni nacha griha patisto vanasto yatirva kintu projan nikala paramananda punamritabdi gopi bartu pada kamalayor dasa dasa anudas. I don't belong to any varna and I don't belong to any ashram. So here he is, Mahaprabhu with his sannyas dress, and he's saying, I am not a sannyasi. I am Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasadas Anudas. I'm the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis. So Mahaprabhu, so that's real sannyas. Sannyas means to know I'm not a sannyasi. And when I was mentioning this morning, I listened to a lecture. I said I listened to two lectures. The second lecture I listened to had another wonderful statement. Prabhupada said, and we have to give up, you know, he said, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. We purify ourselves and we give up the contamination of thinking, I am Brahmana, I am Grihastha, I am Sannyas. And I was thinking, wow, Prabhupada's saying it is a contamination to think you are a sannyasi. It's in his lecture. So what does he mean? And I was reflecting on it. What happening? What it means is when a sannyasi becomes pure and understands I am not a sannyasi, that sannyasi still performs all the duties of sannyas, but just does it with a different consciousness. So one is externally performing the duties of that ashram, but internally one can be the servant of Krishna, the Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Das. Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Grantaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. So I've left a little, I've gone over a little bit, but generally we don't normally take prasad till about 5:02. So if any comments or questions.